Grosse transaction cette semaine. C'est probablement la plus grosse transaction de l'histoire de la NFL depuis celle de Herschel Walker dans les années 90. Et évidemment, ben, moi, j'aime toujours ça parler avec, avec des gens qui sont sur le beat de l'équipe. C'est avec un immense plaisir que je rejoins à Denver. Il est sur le beat des Broncos. Il anime un podcast également qui s'appelle Let's Talk Broncos. Zach Zeger. Bonjour. Hi, Zach.
Hey Danny, how's it going? Thank you so much
fine,
for having
I'm
me
fine.
On.
Et comme je suis un illettré anglophone, je dois l'admettre, là, là, Michel Dugan, on n'a pas été capable de le rejoindre. J'ai fait, mais Tony Guzzo, qui est notre chroniqueur régulier de la NFL, parle très bien anglais. Il va assumer la traduction. On va marcher de la même façon qu'on fonctionne avec Michel. On va poser les questions en alternance, moi et Tony. Et on va la poser en français d'abord et en anglais par la suite. Première question que je vais poser à Tony, pas à Tony, mais à Zach, quelle est la réaction des fans à Denver sur les médias sociaux, les lignes ouvertes suite à cette transaction-là? Tony.
So thanks for being there, Zach. And the biggest question, we won't talk about the 30 other teams, we'll talk about the Broncos. So the first question by Danny is, well, what's the reaction by the fans in Denver with this big trade, which Danny says it's almost up there with the biggest trades in NFL history, Herschel Walker and all those draft picks. So how the fans in Denver react?
Jubilation, you know, so much joy, so much happiness. The fans have been depressed, frankly, for a long time, even having that Super Bowl victory in 2015. That was not a fun team to watch on offense. The offense, every time Peyton Manning threw a pass that year, you were your stomach dropped a bit with fear. It was not comfortable. So I think finally having a quarterback back that you know, not only makes the team interesting again, but also fun to watch. You know, this is entertainment at the end of the day, and they haven't been fun to watch in a long time. I think it's Denver's a football town, American football town, and losing, not having that quarterback for so long, I think has weighed on everyone. And just really, like, it sounds overdramatic, but salvation is the big word, and it's been pretty universal.
Les gens sont jubilés, sont heureux depuis le Super Bowl de 2015. Denver, qui est une ville de football, ce que Zach mentionne, ça fait du bien parce qu'ils ont été, comme il a dit, ils ont été sa dépression pendant toutes ces années-là, mais ça redonne le goût, puis la ville jubile, comme Zach mentionne, okay. Danny.
Vas-y, pas en français
d'abord. Donc, moi, la question, qu'est-ce que je vais demander, c'est que, justement, est-ce qu'ils s'en attendaient ou qu'est-ce qui est arrivé avec les rumeurs avec Aaron Rodgers et tout ça? Donc, est-ce qu'ils s'en attendaient qu'une grosse échange s'en venait avec ça? Donc, Zach... I'm wondering, because there was a lot of rumors for Aaron Rodgers in Denver with Nathaniel Hackett coming as your new head coach. Did you expect a big trade like that?
No, frankly. I mean, I think there was hope for it. You know, I think it was the big white whale that everyone was hoping for, but it did not seem probable at all. In fact, the Rodgers trade, you know, didn't seem very likely, but it seemed so much more likely than the Wilson trade that once it was announced that Rodgers was going to be going back to Green Bay, that there was the opposite of the feeling of jubilation, a feeling of depression across the Denver area when everyone realized that, oh man, we might be looking at Mitch Trubisky or Drew Locke or Andy Dalton. And then very quickly, you know, from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs again.
Zach mentionne qu'il s'en attendait pas. l'échange avec Wilson, pas en tout. Il était, comme on a mentionné, avec les échanges avec Aaron Rodgers, qui était plus probable avec l'arrivée du nouveau coach Hackett. Il s'attendait plus à Rodgers. Donc, quand l'annonce de Rodgers demeurait à Green Bay, la dépression était à continuer. Mais là, il jubile tellement. Ils l'ont pas vu venir, Danny, cet échange-là.
Question. Moi, j'ai une interrogation. Je trouve qu'ils l'ont payé très cher. C'était ma première réaction quand j'ai eu ça. Pourquoi je dis ça? Parce que Russell Wilson n'est pas un corps de pochette comme Tom Brady, comme Peyton Manning à l'époque, comme Drew Brees. C'est un carrière qu'il faut qu'il fonctionne avec ses jambes pour être performant. Et moi, je trouve que ce genre de carrière-là ne sont pas appelés à avoir une carrière un peu moins longue que Brady, Rodgers, et ainsi de suite. Question, moi, je trouve ça, je trouve qu'ils l'ont payé très cher pour. C'est un commentaire, une question. Est-ce que Denver, est-ce qu'on dit ça? Parce que deux choix de première ronde, deux choix de deuxième ronde, des joueurs impliqués également. Puis tu n'es même pas sûr, encore une fois, que tu joues dans une division très forte. Moi, je trouve qu'il s'est payé très cher. C'est un commentaire et une question en même temps. Est-ce que c'est la même réaction à Denver?
It's a big question with comments, Zach. Danny thinks, and here in the French community of NFL, and I agree with Danny, we think that you guys paid a lot, Broncos paid a lot to have Wilson, because Wilson is not that pocket passer, because, you know, maybe injury prone and maybe not many more years to come for him. Because of all of that, the physical play of his style, not like Brady or Manning and all that. So do you think that the Broncos paid a lot for that to have Wilson, and you gave up a lot of picks? You had almost, if I remember, you had almost 11 picks before the trade, and now you're falling at second round and giving up well, Drew Luck maybe is not that big, but giving a guy like Noah Fant is also a big piece of the puzzle. So what's the reaction there by what the Broncos gave to have Russell Wilson in Denver?
I think it's a mix of both. But again, I think the overwhelming feeling in Broncos country is happiness and joy with the amount they gave up. Yes, it's very expensive, but this sport's all about the franchise quarterback. And if you have one, it's everything. And if you don't have one, you're really not a contender, especially now when quarterback play is better than it's ever been with Mahomes and Herbert and these superhumans all over the NFL, just starting their careers out. It's haves and have nots. I think you have to have one of those special guys. And although Wilson doesn't look to be one of those special guys right now, there were a lot of these same arguments being made about Matthew Stafford this time a year ago. And I think you could have made them to maybe a greater extent with Matt Stafford, because his play had been up and down for years and years and years. He had far fewer seasons of top five quarterback play. Now, Wilson, I am, I think, more concerned than most about where he is at this point in his career. With that said, future Hall of Fame quarterbacks don't go on the market very often. This recent history, maybe it's a trend that's here to stay, but it's been bizarre. And so, it's going to cost a premium to get one of those guys. I think you're okay paying it, because nothing is as valuable as those guys. You talk about, sorry, I know this is a long answer.
No, it's okay. It was a long question.
you talk about all the picks they have to give up. George Payton is widely regarded as an excellent drafter, an excellent GM. He had a five-year stretch where he made four first-round picks that were Laquon Treadwell, Jeff Gladney, or not Jeff Gladney, he wasn't in there, but four busts in a row. Like these picks are there's so much luck that goes into them. They're a lottery ticket. Russell Wilson's a sure thing.
Tu sais, je veux dire, le fait qu'il a apporté, c'est que Wilson est un futur Hall of Fame.
Ça, donc, c'est un vrai. Joueur de la Temple.
Donc, pour c'est rare qu'on ait une occasion d'aller chercher un joueur Hall of Fame dans un échange comme ça. Donc, c'est le prix à payer dans le sens, oui, effectivement, mais il revient à George Payton, le DG, qui est un excellent DG. Moi aussi, il va très bien, mais dernièrement, puis c'est un excellent aussi DG qui repêche bien, mais dernièrement, ça a été plus des flops, des busts, comme on dit en anglais. Mais c'est rare, mais c'est le prix à payer pour un joueur qui va éventuellement être un Hall of Fame. Il y a ses doutes, Zach, là, comme qu'il mentionne, à cause que, qu'est-ce que tu dis, Danny, là, justement, le genre de carrière-là, mais ça revient que c'est une business, l'équipe veut gagner le championnat, puis ils vont tout faire pour l'emporter.
Tony.
Moi, ma prochaine question que je vais demander à Zach, c'est justement la division. Donc, il va y avoir beaucoup d'actions. Je vais affronter Mahomes deux fois, affronter Derek Carr avec l'arrivée de Josh McDaniels, Justin Herbert. En tout cas, ça va être vraiment une division vraiment captivante à surveiller. Donc, je vais lui demander aussi s'il y a eu d'autres nouvelles, parce qu'on n'a pas vraiment eu des nouvelles de Russell Wilson depuis l'annonce. Puis là, je me demande si c'est à cause qu'il faut qu'il garde silence radio. Zach, I have a two-part question. I think you understood. It's going to be quite of a division now, the AFC West, with Mahomes twice. We'll have to see how the Raiders going to play with Derek Carr and the arrival of Josh McDaniels. And playing Justin Herbert, the Chargers, it's going to be quite a. Is it more pressure to Russell Wilson, or maybe more pressure to the first year coach Nathaniel Hackett?
It's a fantastic question, man. I think. Oh, that's really tough.
It's a tough one. I like it. I'm practicing. I'm quite new in this.
It's an excellent question. No, it is. I'm struggling here. So I think ultimately more pressure is going to be put on Wilson. You know, all the praise that's going to come his way, and there's going to be a lot of praise and love from this fan base. I'd say half this fan base still has quite a lot of love for Drew Locke. So that tells you how desperate they are.
Really?
Wow. Yes. There was a civil war about Drew Locke nonstop over the past several years. People love them some Drew Locke for whatever reason. But so he's going to get a lot of love. But I think with that, people are putting all their hopes and expectations on him. And if he disappoints, if he plays like he did in some of the lower points of 2021, some of the lower points of 2020, for a whole season, that decline continues. I think there's going to be quite a lot of pressure placed on him. That said, there is a lot of pressure on Nathaniel Hackett because it's Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson. Even if he doesn't look good, he hasn't looked good in the past and it's always been the offensive coordinator that's been blamed for it. Russ Wilson's a known commodity. The pieces on this offense are, you know, somewhat known commodities. People believe they're very, very talented. If Hackett's not able to get it right, whether or not it's truly his fault, he might be the one that gets the blame for it.
My follow-up question, Zach, is it because it's not the new year and all that, we're not hearing from Russell Wilson? Have you heard? Has he reacted? I didn't follow lately social media, but Wilson is quite a quiet guy, right, after this announcement?
Yeah, no official word from him. He said, like, thank you, Seahawks Nation, you know, something like that. I think some of that might be because the trade's not official until the 16th or something like that when the league year starts.
Yeah, there's some maybe.
I will say he did. Courtland Sutton said this on NFL Network today or yesterday that he reached out to all of the Broncos receivers, and they're already trying to figure out times they could work out ahead of OTAs, start building that chemistry and start building familiarity in Nathaniel Hackett's offense.
Donc, sur la pression, on se demandait si la pression va être plus sur Russell Wilson ou sur le coach, le nouveau coach Nathaniel Hackett, là, sa première année. Mais Zach mentionne que la pression est plus sur Wilson parce qu'il semblerait qu'à Denver, on aimait beaucoup Drew Locke. Donc,
déjà c'est un petit bout de la transaction.
Genre, ouais, exactement. Donc, il était beaucoup aimé, Drew Luck. Donc, beaucoup de pression aussi sur Russell Wilson, mais aussi beaucoup de pression sur le coach, là, parce que veut pas, on veut gagner. La pression va être aussi sur le coordonnateur offensif. Et j'ai posé la question s'il y avait des nouvelles de Russell Wilson, ouais. Parce que c'est un gars quand même qui est tranquille. Et non, il n'y a pas eu vraiment d'annonce officielle. Il a remercié la ville de Seattle, mais il semblerait, selon Courtland Sutton, le receveur des Broncos qui a passé à NFL Network, il semblerait que Russell Wilson a déjà envoyé des textos ou des téléphones à toute sa gang de receveurs pour préparer sa préparation avec ses nouveaux receveurs dans le futur.
Le fait que John Elway est le président des Broncos de Denver, c'est ma prochaine question. Tu sais, je regarde la liste des carrières, c'est ça que j'en ai regardé depuis que lui est parti. Là. Il y a eu Peyton Manning, il y a eu Jay Cutler, il y en a plusieurs qui ont passé à Denver. Paxton Lynch qui était un premier choix, Drew Locke qui était également un premier choix. Est-ce que le fait que John Elway est le président des Broncos de Denver, ça l'a influencé beaucoup cette année, la pression d'aller chercher une carrière? Et comment se fait-il qu'on n'est pas capable de développer une carrière à Denver?
We are wondering, Zach, Danny's asking with John Elway when he arrived, but technically, is he still the president? No, hein?
No, his role's been diminished. It's more a title than anything
functional.
Okay, so did he have some influential lately in this decision, you think? Or really it's George Payton's show?
I really think it's George Payton's show. Payton was a highly, highly coveted GM who turned down multiple job offers in past cycles before finally accepting the Broncos job. How I understand it is actually that John Elway kind of wanted to retire last offseason. They're like, hey, stick around a little longer just to help kind of guide us through this transition. But his role is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller as time goes on. In the team, it really is George Payton's show. And we've been hearing about him laying the groundwork for either a Rodgers or a Wilson deal, working on both ever since these rumors started last offseason. I really think this has been Payton's big project for, you know, however many months.
And the big question why it's tough in Denver to develop a good quarterback after all these picks and all these quarterbacks since the last 10, 15, 20 years?
I mean, a comedy of errors, I think, is the best way to put it. You know, Paxton Lynch was an utter disaster. You know, Jamarcus Russell stuff there in terms of character, work ethic, not loving the game. Now he's like a third string quarterback for the Rough Riders. Well, before he got cut, just got cut. So, you know, that's an utter disaster. And then you've got Drew Locke, who lots of words about him struggling to being a slow learner, I think, struggling to pick things up. Of course, he had COVID issues. And then I think a lot of it situationally, too. Like everyone will talk about all the quarterbacks the Broncos burned through in these past 6-7 years. They burned through a lot of offensive coordinators and a lot of offensive schemes in that time too. And that's going to make it a lot harder to bring your young guys along. And frankly, the coaching environment from all the research I've done and everything I've heard, the coaching environment last year on this team was fairly toxic. And I think that is going to make things harder on young quarterbacks as well. When you've got kind of maybe older my way or the highway coaches.
Okay. Donc, Danny, pour répondre, John Elway n'est plus le président. Là, quand tu l'as mentionné, je m'en doutais un peu parce qu'il a été comme un peu tassé, mais il y a un rôle plus de figurant parce que même il semblerait, Zach a mentionné qu'il voulait même prendre sa retraite l'année passée, John Elway. Donc, il a resté un peu pour peut-être développer les relations publiques et tout ça. Donc, le fait de le manque du développement des corps arrière, c'est une comédie d'erreur, comme il a mentionné. Donc, c'est les coachs qui sont en place, les coordonnateurs offensifs. avec tout ça. Drew Lock est un joueur, un athlète qui apprend lentement. Donc son apprentissage est très lent. Donc, c'est pour ça qu'on a vu vraiment des difficultés à son niveau. Et il semblerait que aussi l'environnement des entraîneurs l'année passée était toxique. Donc, c'est très, très, très difficile pour les jeunes de se développer à ce niveau-là. Donc, le fait d'arriver Russell Wilson comme d'expérience et avec un entourage, un meilleur noyau d'entraîneurs là, avec l'arrivée d'Hackett, ben ça va peut-être changer la donne à Denver.
Oui, mais là, c'est une question. Toi, Tony, quel mec t'en
reste?
Vas-y, c'est à ton tour.
Je te laisse aller.
Les joueurs autonomes, ça s'ouvre dimanche. Est-ce qu'il faut s'attendre à ce que les Broncos bougent beaucoup? Et comment ils restaient sur le cap? On l'a vérifié l'autre fois, c'était...
Mais c'est rendu 24 millions. Okay, avec
il reste 24 millions sur le cap. Donc, est-ce qu'il faut s'attendre à ce que les Broncos soient très actifs? Parce que tu vas chez Russell Wilson, tu veux l'encadrer. C'est quoi les principaux besoins des Broncos à l'heure actuelle après la transaction?
Ben, je m'en allais faire un genre de même question.
OK.
All right. Zach, now with the trade and now with the opening of the free agency next week, if we recall, I think you have still have a cap space of $24 million. Is that it?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
The calculation. Because with the trade and all that. So there's rumors that maybe Von Miller will be back in Denver. So what do you think the strategy for the Denver Broncos in the free agency market that will start next week? Well, what do you think? What do we need to help out Russell Wilson? I think we have, you guys, I say you guys, I think the Broncos have a good offensive core, I think, and defensively maybe it is with youngsters very good, but I think you might have to expect something in the defense side of the ball.
Yeah, I think lots of investments in the front seven is going to be the name of the game here. Also, right tackle. You know, you need to protect that big quarterback investment you just made. Right tackle is a hole on this team. Morgan Moses, coming from the Jets, is a name that's been floated quite a bit. I think people shouldn't be surprised if Calvin Anderson, who was their swing tackle last year, ends up starting at right tackle. He is someone the coaching staff in the front office has been very high on for multiple years now. As for those investments in the front seven, their pass rush was worse than the league last year in terms of pass rush win rate. Have to upgrade that. So Von Miller is a name that's been floated. It does appear that he's interested in a reunion. But the rumor right now in Denver that is picking up steam is that they're actually going to go after Chandler Jones, the former Cardinal. Yep, he has reportedly a very good relationship with Russell Wilson, dating back to their time playing together on multiple Pro Bowl teams. They're very close. Broncos might opt to go in that direction instead of the Von Miller direction. But although the reporting points that way now, the reporting also said that Rodgers was more likely than Wilson. The reporting also wasn't pointing to Patrick Surtain. The local reporting also said that it was going to be Dan Quinn as the head coach and not Nathaniel Hackett. So Peyton has done an excellent job with the smokescreen, so it's hard to predict.
Okay. Do you think they're gonna spend money or they're gonna be active?
Very aggressive. Aggressive. I think they're understanding that this is a This is a window, and they want to go for it.
All right. Et Danny, ils vont être vraiment agressifs parce que justement c'est la fenêtre d'opportunité. Ils veulent les Broncos s'enligner pour aller protéger Russell Wilson avec un plaqueur droitier. Okay. Donc, il y a le nom de Morgan Moses des Jets qui est soulevé, ou peut-être une promotion à l'interne de Calvin Anderson qui pourrait être le plaqueur pour protéger justement Russell Wilson. Mais c'est sûr que la défensive est à améliorer. C'est une de leurs priorités parce que ça a été une des défensives contre une des défensives qui a eu beaucoup de la difficulté dans la ligue. Donc, c'est pour ça qu'on voit le nom de Von Miller apparaître. Okay. Mais semblerait que Chandler Jones des Cards a réapparu dernièrement suite à l'échange, parce que Chandler Jones est très près. C'est un bon ami à Russell Wilson. Donc, ils veulent vraiment être agressifs. On okay. sent, je le sens de sa voix, de Zach, que les Broncos sont... on le sent que là, c'est vraiment... Ils jubilent un peu, puis ils mettent le paquet.
Ben merci beaucoup. Thanks. Moi, c'est terminé, Tony, parce qu'on avait dit, on a dépassé un peu notre limite. Donc, merci beaucoup. Thanks a lot. Tony, as-tu quelque chose avant? On va conclure?
Oui, ben je... Thank you very much, Zach, for being there, and... like I said to Danny, I feel the jubilation in Broncos country with this trade. So you're quite. Can we say that you're all in a way?
Certainly. Yeah. My life, studying this team, following them as closely as I have to, is a lot better. Lot less time spent watching Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater. So that's the salvation.
Yeah, I see. So.
So a big thank you. Zach, il est tellement content. Là, il jubile lui-même en tant que journaliste de plus suivre un gars comme Drew Locke et de suivre une équipe compétitive. Là.
Okay. Donc,
thank you very much.
Zach Zegers du podcast Let's Go Broncos. Merci Tony pour la traduction d'avoir remplacé Michel. Donc voilà. Merci.